Our thought today, we had started talking about, Lord, teach us to love. And this is a very earnest prayer. I know we are supposed to ask the Lord to teach us how to pray. That's important. Teach us how to have faith. That's important. But hope and prayer and faith and love are all important, but love is the greatest, the Bible says. Teach us to love. In 1 John 3, verse 16 through 18, we read, this is how we know that what love is. How do we know what love is? Listen carefully. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So, my question or questions are today, how does our lives reveal that we have received God's love, that we possess God's love? How do we put that in action? How would you describe your relationship with God? Is it a love-hate relationship, as the saying goes? Or is it ever-increasing love, that the love goes deeper and deeper? That means that we don't always rely on feelings, but on commitment to love, like in a marriage. Yesterday, Ann and I celebrated or had our 39th anniversary. Next year is the big 4-0, and we look forward to that. The love grows over time. It's less emotional, but it is deeper in a sense of commitment and really being devoted to each other. And that's also with the love of God. Now, the Bible says, and I want to do another little session here on what love is. The Apostle Paul, before his conversion, his name was Saul. But before his conversion, he demonstrated no mercy and no kindness to others. He was so legalistic, he was so zealous for the law, that he forgot love. He forgot what love really is. But when he met Jesus, he discovered the whole massive depths of love of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not reject him. He accepted him. He saved him. He gave him grace. And he could say, Jesus loves me. He was friendly to me. He was gentle with me. He could have rejected me. He could have punished me because I was persecuting the believers. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, we have this beautiful chapter about love. It's a love song, if you will. In verse 4, he says, love is kind. Last time we talked about love is patient and all about being patient. Now, love is kind. What does it mean to be kind? How can we know when a person is kind? We would describe a person to be kind if they're likable and friendly and courteous and affectionate and gentle and benevolent. And kindness, we feel, is revealed through a giving type of attitude. Kindness is definitely needed in every Christian's life. Without kindness, we cannot be believers in Jesus Christ, because he was kind and he is kind. Kindness is something that has to do with grace. If we lack grace, we will lack kindness. And if we lack kindness, it's like a red warning signal that we're lacking grace. More grace is needed until that warning light, that red light, goes out again, that kindness is restored. This happened to Paul. He was a very unkind and unloving person, but from this unloving situation, from this unloving type of thinking, he turned to Jesus Christ, he met Jesus, and Jesus totally turned it around, filled him with grace. This is why he said later to the Ephesians, by grace you are saved, and not of your own works, not through the law, not through any of your own doing and admonitions or whatever you strive for, but it is the grace of God through Jesus Christ that saved you, and because you are saved, you have been made kind. Now Jesus challenges us to extend our kindness not only to our friends and to our buddies and to our family members, but also to those that are unloving or even unkind to us. You know, human nature is that if someone punches us, that we were supposed to punch back. That's human nature. And some have this principle. They say, well, you punch me once, I punch you twice. But when you are in Christ, what did Jesus say? And I don't know. Turn the other cheek? I mean, come on, you know? Isn't one slap enough? I mean, boy. But it's a metaphor. It's not really that he said that literally, you know, now go and slap around people and see who passes the test or who doesn't. That's not the idea. But the idea is that when you get a slap in the face through a very hurtful word, through a very hurtful deed that someone does to you, that you don't respond back in anger, but in kindness. And this is what Jesus says. Love your enemies or your adversaries. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That is a tough challenge. God's love is challenging us to be kind to those that are unkind. And you cannot do it on your own. We can try. Some may be very good-natured and just kind of, yeah, you let it roll off and it's okay, it's okay. But to be kind when unkindness and very bad things happen to you, that is a challenge and that is a lesson to be learned. Jesus basically says here, that the only way to conquer our enemies as believers is not with weapons, not with a fist, but with kindness. There was an old lady that used to say, let's kill them with love. Now, love doesn't kill. Love sustains us, but let's take the edge of enmity out with kindness, because love is kind. Coercion may stop our enemies from hurting us. You know, we may convince them, just stop hurting me, and that'll be okay. But Jesus desires that we extend kindness. There is much power in the kindness of God. Think of how God came to us with His kindness. And how He loved us. We were so unloving. I mean, we were rebellious against Him. We sinned against Him. We violated His word. And we brought shame onto His name. And all of that. We basically lived in corruption in our sinful life. So he reached out, he spoke to us, he helped us, and he forgave us all the wrong that we did. We didn't deserve it. And this is the whole meaning of love. We receive this kindness from God through Jesus Christ that we did not deserve, and that is power. And I call it the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness always empowers us. When we receive forgiveness, we also get the power through God's love to overcome evil, to overcome sin, and to live in victory. Now, Paul wrote so beautifully in his letter to the followers in Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, listen to how he describes this. You and I, in Christ, we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Can you say that today to yourselves? I am dearly loved by God. Sometimes we need to say that. I am dearly loved by God. Then he says, clothe yourselves. That means put on like clothing with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Boy, that rubs against our human nature. But if we are God's chosen people and we have received God's love and his love is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, then we can be adorned with these qualities of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then he goes on to say, bear with each other and forgive one another if any one of you has grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, the qualities of a Christian character they're all bound together by the love of Jesus Christ. And that's called kindness. And I prayed this week, I prayed today, Lord, help me to be kind. Kindness is also meekness. Meekness in German, Sanftmut. It doesn't mean that we don't have a spine, that we can't take a stand for truth or anything. It simply means that we are doing things God's way. Too often we underestimate the value and power of kindness. What a wonderful world this would be if every person would have this quality of being kind. Guess what? I think the jails would be empty and a lot of people would not be in the hospital that are otherwise in the hospital. I think a lot of things would be different. See, the world is opposite of kindness, and this is why we have this responsibility as believers to extend our kindness. This is how we shine our light into this world, that we extend kindness and love to others. So I want to ask you at the closing here, if love is kind, what does that mean to you in everyday life? What does that mean in your marriage, in your relationship to your children or grandchildren, in your friendship circle, in your small group, home group, in your extended family? What does that mean in our daily lives, in our church? Should kindness be limited to those who are only kind to us? Jesus reflected on that and said, if we're only kind to those that are kind to us, then it's like, well, I'm kind to you and I expect you to be kind to me, so we're even. But he says, the Father in heaven wants us to take it up a notch and be even more kind. And that is my prayer for myself and for all of us. What makes it possible for us to become kind people? And all that we do is that we first repent of all unkindness and all the things, maybe attitudes we had that were not pleasing to God. Then God wants to bless us with this gift of his love, this part of being kind. Now may God help us in this. And let's stand for prayer.